going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
We're back with more of Sabres Live. Presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Back to hockey talk in a minute, but the Bandits were home on Friday night in a single elimination quarterfinal game and found themselves ultimately involved in the lowest scoring game in the history of the National Lacrosse League. They defeated San Diego 5-4. They scored no goals in the second half. However, after falling behind 2-1, they had a 4-goal run in the second quarter that featured some incredible drama, talent, all the rest of it, highlight reel stuff from players we've expected to see it from and some we didn't. And ultimately, Matt Vince had a 48-save effort on 52 shots and somehow got the better of Chris Origliere at the other end. Bandits defeat the Seals 5-4. And now get set for a best-of-three semifinal starting this Friday night at home against Vancouver, Marty.
Incredible that the game-winning goal was scored as time was running out in the second quarter. The diving around the back of the net, just putting the ball in as time was basically expiring. And then they're up 5-2, and then that's it. Like, it was a tight game. I don't think I will ever see another 5-4 game in lacrosse like this, especially in the playoffs, because lacrosse is a high-scoring game. It's a game of runs. You go, you go, you go. You get a goal, keep going. And this was a very tightly contested game. But, man, what a performance by Vincey again to make, to make saves late when your team really needs you. And the number of saves that he made was incredible.
Yeah, and honestly, he was... You don't know how a game is going to go, but I found myself in the first quarter and second quarter thinking, holy cow, like he is so good from an anticipation standpoint right now of like, and whether it's, you know, in part advanced scouting and having seen this team twice already this year. And look, these guys all know each other. They play year round in different leagues. I mean, everyone knows everyone. I get that, but Matt Vince was so on top of things. And then he was less than a second away from establishing a new record for goals against. And the San Diego scored with less than a second left in regulation to make the final 5-4. It was 5-3. There was a brief moment in time, Marty, where this, from a glass half full standpoint, if it had gone the wrong way, would have been the worst beats ever in the history of lacrosse. They were up 5-3 with a minute to go, empty net staring them in the face. They missed the empty net and they missed the rebound. They should have extended the possession. Instead, Dylan Robinson, who missed the empty net, takes a major for high sticking. So now they're shorthanded for the final minute. And I'm like,
and they could have scored as many goals as they wanted on the major penalty. So, yeah.
Well, no, it's not that. No, that's not true. But
they don't do that way.
No, no. But the point is,
can you score multiple goals on the penalty though? Two. Okay. Yeah. Okay. That's so, okay. That's okay.
The player
that's good,
serves the I'm penalty, like, but this manpower disadvantage comes off the board. So
after the second goal.
Yeah.
Okay, because I've seen a five-minute major called and then one goal getting scored and then they were still on the penalty kill. So I thought it was the same thing. I didn't know there was a limit to two.
And by the way, they're up against Vancouver, who is on a seven-game win streak. They have not lost since the trade deadline acquisition of Christian Delbianco, who was the 2023 MVP and goaltender of the year. He's only the second goalie ever to win MVP beyond Steve Dietrich. Bandits general manager, and that was in 06. And he, of course, was part of Calgary's championship win against the Bandits in 2019. So there's 15 years between Matt Vince and Christian Delbianco. And yet after watching this weekend and much of this year, like, you're talking about the two best.
They're
in the
two
game.
Best. It's incredible. Yeah, it's incredible. Hashtag Patrick Waugh going head to head in Bianco, the playoffs.
By the way, like he told Calgary, I'm not playing for you ever again. So he sat there all year. Calgary wasn't going to trade him. They traded him at the deadline to Vancouver, where he wanted to be. Vancouver has not lost since. It's a really crazy story. Just so again, Bandits are home this Friday. Then they will travel to Vancouver on Saturday, but then play on Sunday for game two of the series. And if it needs to go three, it'll be back in Bandit Land a week from this Saturday. So, like, man, it is that's a tough opening two games for both these teams.
Yeah, and in the other series, it's the Rush and the Thunderbirds, and they're going to start one game at the Thunderbird, and then they'll come back for game two and three at the Rush is Saskatoon, right?
Correct.
So they're going to come back Saskatoon for game two and three, despite the fact that they're the highest seed. So a little different there, but you know, this semifinal, Bandits have game one and game three. They go to Vancouver for game two, but hopefully the Bandits can close it out in two and they don't have to come back for game three.
On to the West in the NHL playoffs. And Gabe Landeskog and the Colorado Avalanche coming back to get their series even at two. Remarkable. Everything. I mean, the only way you could have scripted it differently was if he'd actually had this same impact in his return game, which was game three.
Mm-hmm.
But it matters not. He still delivered it in front of the home fans. It is still going to be a cherished for a championship organization. Multiple championships organization. This, for decades, will be a fan favorite moment for the Colorado Avalanche.
Incredible. Almost 3 years, right? Because the last goal that Gabriel Landeskog had scored was in June in the finals 3 years ago. And then he ends up getting a goal in the second game. He didn't score in the American League when he played for the Colorado Eagles. And then, you know, but his first game, I felt like he had a good impact. He was physical in game three, the first game that he was back, but didn't really handle the puck all that much and whatnot. And then they moved some of the lines around. He gets in, gets a goal. Mackenzie Blackwood was really good in net for the Colorado Avalanche, who I was surprised. Look, no Jason Robertson for Dallas. No Miro Heiskanen for Dallas. I was surprised that the Stars were that good in game two and three to bounce back and take, you know, the lead in the series. But if Colorado can play the way that they did in game four, this will end in two more games. Like, they were that much better than Dallas. Dallas didn't have an answer. Now, we'll see what happens if Miro Heiskanen is going to be back and Jason Robertson, what's going to happen there. But if it plays out the same way, Colorado is the better team, in my opinion.
They play tonight. What happens?
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBNetwork.com/stream. Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
See, like, I say Colorado wins this tonight and then they win at home. It's weird to me that Colorado didn't have home ice advantage. I feel like they're the better team. But the standings were that Dallas had almost got themselves above Winnipeg, only to lose seven in a row to end the season and then lose game one. I think Colorado wins tonight and wins game six at home.
Oh, I'm sorry, did you mention the Jets? My final words of our last show last week were, let's go Blues.
Go Blues.
And thank you, St. Louis, for evening the series. You did convincing manner, yeah. Like thrashed the Jets over two occasions.
You did Brett Hall in the drunk Stanley Cup parade. We went Blues. So you went Blues big time. But yes, this is, okay, Duffer. It comes down to one individual and one individual only, and it's Connor Hellebuck.
Really?
Connor Hellebuck was not good in game three, was not good in game four, got pulled in both games. Over the last three playoffs, Duffer, and Shayna's buddy Dom had that on X. Over the last three playoffs, who is the worst goalie in the National Hockey League? In when you look at the numbers, goals saved above expectation.
Well, you're going to tell us that it's the Vezina likely winner. So.
It's Connor Hellebuck. Most people would have said Stuart Skinner, right? So it's basically Connor Hellebuck and Stuart Skinner are the worst two goalies in the last three playoffs. But Connor Hellebuck is another step behind Skinner. Like, Skinner has given up, I think, 11 more goals than he should have. Connor Hellebuck's given up 15 more goals than he should have. And we thought last year, like, oh, he played Colorado, boo. Okay, sorry, Connor, you're going to be better. Connor Hellebuck, I actually didn't think I played that bad last year against Colorado. And it's been bad. He looks off. He looks slow. He looks like his feet are in cement. And St. Louis is finding ways around him. And it's been the difference.
St. Louis was very competitive in the first two games in Winnipeg.
Yeah.
Definitely feel like they should have taken the first game based on how long they led and how late the comeback came from Winnipeg. Mm-hmm. But 12-3, they outscored the Jets over the last two games. Anyway, Vasilevsky, Kemper, and Hellebuck, your finalists for the Vezina this year.
Kemper is having a tough go in that series with the Oilers. They're tied at two, but he's giving up a lot of goals.
Well, so is Hellebuck, by the way. He's tied
Hellebuck.
At two.
Tied at two, yeah, giving up a lot of goals. And Vasilevsky, after game one, it was like, ooh, Vasi. So after four games tonight, we'll get to see if those three are giving up a lot of goals. I don't anticipate it for Vasi, but we'll see.
Do you think, though, home ice just gets the Jets right back on track, or are you actually concerned for Winnipeg at this point?
I'm concerned for Winnipeg.
Are you?
I'm concerned for Winnipeg. You know that Jordan Binnington in game 5, 6, and 7 of his career is 10-2. And Jordan Binnington has been a part of five playoff series when after four games they're tied at two. He's won all five of them.
Right. But what has he done for anyone lately?
Well, he won Team Canada, Four Nations face-off. Yeah. And it's not like Jordan Binnington is stealing games right now. I think there's still that's coming up.
Got field goals and touchdowns.
Exactly.
With great regularity.
They just missed an extra point. But yes, but I think Jordan Binnington is going to win one of the three games left. So now, all of a sudden, it's dicey for Winnipeg.
So we mentioned Darcy Kemper. He's a Vezina finalist. This is not anything to do with Darcy Kemper, I don't think. especially last night. Like, I mean, he was so good in overtime. But here's a problem for LA. They've given up 11 third period goals. Already in a four-game series. Like, Edmonton has twice as many third period goals as anybody else in the playoffs right now.
So. Where do we put the blame? I'm going to blame Jim Hiller and the LA Kings coaching staff in the fact that, so Friday night is game three, the first game in Edmonton. The LA Kings are up 4-3 after two periods. They give up a goal to make it 4-4. Evander Kane scores, and Jim Hiller and the coaching staff decides to challenge for goalie interference. It was a terrible challenge. 10 seconds later, Evan Bouchard scores the second of the game on the power play. That's a game-winning goal. So I'm saying that was on the coaching staff. Now, last night in game four, the LA Kings are up 3-1 after two periods. And, like, call a timeout at some point in the third period because the Edmonton Oilers are rolling over. They're rolling. They have the puck. The Kings are not doing anything. Call a timeout. Settle your team down. Like, this is a big game. You can be up 3-1 going back home. Instead, you get a goal, and then you get, you know, Evan Bouchard that scores to tie it with 30 seconds left. I get Ellie missed an empty net. They went, you know, a couple of feet wide. And Quentin Byfield's got to make a better play trying to get the puck out of the zone. Bouchard keeps it in, keeps the play alive. They score. But from the start of the third all the way until the Edmonton Oilers scored in OT, the Kings never touched the puck. They never had the puck. I say Jim Hiller needed to take a timeout and settle the guy. Even in overtime, take a timeout. Settle things down. Like, it was getting a little too fast for the Kings.
All right, quick break. Maybe Minnesota-Vegas. Maybe when we come back on Sabres Live.